Hello, welcome to the Hopecast, where we hear about normal people following Jesus in the 21st century. Join me and guests in conversations on how to do daily life with struggles that come, the hope we find in Jesus, plus anything in between. Come on in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first Hopecast. I hope you're all ready, sitting in your chairs, ready for some nuggets of wisdom and some jolly good old times. I am currently with my first guest on the air. She's a girl who I met in the first year of university, and she's a great friend. We even went to Berlin this February, actually. Shout out to Potsdam. Woo! And this girl is Zara.
Hey!
Hello, Zara.
Hi. So,
what have you been up to this quarantine?
Well, I have finished online uni and like all of my assignments a couple weeks ago. So been pretty chilled, you know, just hanging out, catching up with friends, cooking. I started running, but now I've hurt my knee, so I've stopped running for a little while.
Oh no.
And yeah, and then I'm just keeping up some music things, doing some online, kind of like an online course, but it's very unofficial, on like apologetics, and it's just all good, you know.
Oh, sounding very wholesome.
It's a wholesome time.
So to introduce my guest, I've decided I'm gonna do quick fire round of three questions, and then we'll get into some, you know, more telling questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get into the topic. So are you ready, Zara?
I'm so ready. Hit me with a question.
Okay. Ketchup or mayo?
Ketchup.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Would you rather eat a slug or lick a toe?
Oh, lick a toe.
Well, Zara, that tells a lot about you, doesn't it?
Who would eat a slug? I'm sorry.
I know some people who would eat slugs.
Okay.
A more serious, well, not that serious question. I feel like you can give good wisdom on this because I'm not your classic 2020 Christian who loves coffee and coffee shops, but
I am,
and you're well-rounded. Yes. So tell us what the best coffee you've had in the whole world.
I'm going to stick with Glasgow because, you know, great city, great cafes. We love Glasgow. So
definitely,
there is a place called the Good Coffee Cartel, and they're like unofficially a cafe because their main thing is just roasting and supplying coffee. But they have this coffee, which is called Bronco, and it's Brazilian Colombian, and oh boy, it's so good. That in a flat white with oat milk. Oh, so good.
That sounds fantastic. Well, if I liked coffee, I would definitely drink it.
There you go. Maybe you should drink it and it'll open your eyes to see how much you actually like coffee. You've probably just been drinking the wrong kind your whole life.
That is probably very true, actually. That's a good point.
Oh, thank you.
So today's topic is going to be about really knowing Jesus and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. For those of you who don't know and are listening to the podcast, I'm a Christian, if you didn't already realize that. Zara's also a Christian. Yeah, I think you've been on a cool journey with this, with ups and downs over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd love to ask you about that and just how that's developed over time.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So let's start off. How would you describe spending time with God?
So yeah, I'm definitely no expert in this, and I've struggled to have time with God throughout my life, especially if I don't feel like it. But I've learned some things along the way, which hopefully could help some of you out there too. Time with God for me changes quite a lot, and I try to switch it up because I can just so easily slip into a legalistic routine. I can easily see quiet time as something to be checked off my daily list of tasks. So I try not to get into a strict routine, because if I do, I just find that I limit God and I try to squeeze him into that fixed routine, which I've made, which ends up just making me feel disconnected from God because I've only allowed him to speak through that specific time in that specific way. But that's not to say that spiritual disciplines are bad. I think they're so good and so important. But I just find that if we are doing them wrong, they can become toxic and they become like a striving thing instead of an abiding thing.
I love that, Sarah.
Yeah.
Let's actually talk more about that. What do you think it means to abide in Jesus? He said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. And yeah, so what do you think that means?
Yeah, I think the only way that we can abide, like abiding, it's quite an intimate thing when you think about it. It's like, I just picture it as two becoming one. And the only way that you can really become one with someone is if you know them. I think it is a matter of knowing God as he knows us, loving him as he loves us. And it all comes from, the Bible says we love because he first loved us. So it's like it comes from him freely, but it's what do we do? Do we respond back? And like, do we get into that place of really knowing God? Yeah, I think a lot of people get so bogged down in the doing things and like, like the external, like, oh, I must do this to abide with God. But actually, I think it's an internal thing and it's about the heart. A preacher that I love who talks a lot about this kind of thing is Eric Gilmore. I've only come across him recently, but he talks about like Christianity not being behaving but beholding. And I think that's really good for abiding as well. Like, it's not what we do, it's not doing all of these things, but it's just coming to God and beholding who he is, and then everything flows from that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that phrase, beholding. No. I love that phrase. Christianity is not a matter of behaving, but a matter of beholding.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's something that's actually really on my heart, just for people to be able to know God and know what his character is and how much love he has for them. Almost before they think they have to do a lot of stuff as a checklist to please him.
Yeah.
But it's really not like that, is it?
Yeah.
Because I think something that easily sways Christians to kind of go into that striving mentality is thinking that we can do more to make God love us, or actually his demonstration of love for us was over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
When he gave his son, you know? Yeah. So what are some like characteristics of Jesus which encourages you to carry on spending time with God and not kind of burn out from wanting to do that or go on spending time with Jesus?
Yeah. That's quite hard because there's so much. Like, Jesus is incredible, indescribable. But I'd say the thing that keeps me coming back to him is just his love for me, which I receive more and more of every time I come into his presence. And yeah, just grasping that love. Like, when you're loved and when you love someone, it's not a thing of like, oh, I need to go and spend time with them. Oh, I have to go and be in their presence. But it's like a desire. You're like, oh man, I just can't wait. And yeah, it's like when you fall in love with someone, you don't suddenly start becoming all like, oh, I must do this and I need to carve out time and oh, but I don't feel like it. But it becomes just a burning desire. So, and I think you cultivate that through disciplines and intentionally setting aside time, but with time that love just grows more and more. And yeah, also just the fact that Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, which means it's not a heavy, tiresome journey that I have to force myself to endure, but it is that love relationship. And yeah, I mean, there are definitely times when it's harder to connect with God and it's hard to love God back. But just like in any relationship with someone, you work through that, and those harder times bring you into a deeper understanding of God's love and a deeper love for him. And yeah, and also just the fact that because Jesus is so huge and incredible and beyond our understanding. Like, eternal life is knowing God. So there's always more to know about him. So, like, you can never really get bored of discovering more of who Jesus is. So that's something else. Like, there's just always more to him. There's more to see. He's got so many wonderful mysteries to uncover.
So good and so true. Thank you for that. Some people might be like, what is this girl talking about? Like, spending time with God. Like, how do I even know God's there? How do I approach God? Or how do I, you know he loves me and stuff like this? Is there any advice you would give as practical tips for people who might just be struggling with maybe even the fact that God loves them or that he is there present with them, and or any tips that you've just learned along the way?
Yeah, I think to people that don't understand, like, how can a God love me? It's a matter of looking at Jesus and looking at what he said in the Gospels. So that's a really great place to start, is just to read through the Gospels. If you don't know what they are, they're in the New Testament of the Bible, so Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And they're just eyewitness accounts of Jesus's time on earth. And they're like historically fact. And they're just a really amazing way to see Jesus was and who he is and what he was like on earth.
Is there like any advice you've received or one piece of advice you'd pass on to someone else who was struggling with spending time with God or even just sitting and listening to what God has to say?
So recently I've been seeing time with God kind of with the analogy as if I was dating someone, and it sounds kind of stupid, but it's helped me gain a new perspective of being in relationship with him and like practically how do you be in relationship with him. And what I mean by that is when you start dating someone, you carve out time to go on dates. So you go somewhere, you spend time with them, and it's just very intentional. We can do that in our relationship with Jesus. We can set a time, maybe we can set a place, because sometimes I think if we just stay like in our bed or at home, we can get very easily distracted. And I mean, Jesus would wake up in the morning and go away to a quiet place. So it's like that intentionality of getting up and going somewhere. For me, as we said earlier, I love coffee. So I sometimes have like coffee with Jesus. So I'll make my coffee and go sit somewhere and like just spend that time in prayer and giving space for him to speak to them most days, whenever you can. Maybe you're messaging throughout the day, or maybe you're calling them most days. And I just find it interesting that even though you're busy and you have things to do, you will always make time for that person. And those things that you have to do usually get done anyway. So it is a matter of priorities. So if we prioritize God and spending time with him and speaking to him and reading his word, those other things that we feel like we're missing out on doing usually still happen. But it's just we're seeking God first.
That's so good. It is about prioritizing, is it? And
yeah,
just aligning what is actually the most important thing in my life right now.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a really good quote I heard, well, something like the quote I heard about prioritizing God was, you can tell what the most important thing in your life is by what you spend money, time and effort on. And it's true, it really does show, depending on what you're putting all your energy and time into.
Yeah, definitely. But also something with this dating analogy is that obviously it's not the same with God as dating someone, because God doesn't let us down, he doesn't hurt our feelings, his love isn't conditional, he doesn't stand us up, but it's way better. And actually, it's not like an external person, but God lives in us. if you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus into your heart, he now lives in you and he never leaves you. He's always with you. But just those intentional things from this analogy and those intentional times with Jesus is so beautiful and so intimate. And I think it really helps cultivate that love. And yeah, that's one other thing is that just like when you get to know someone, you don't know them like instantly and you don't know them like after a week or a month. But if it's someone that you spend your life with, you're always getting to know them more and more. So it's not having that expectation like, okay, I'll have one really good quiet time and then I'll be in such a great place and I really know God. But eternal life is knowing God. So it's a journey and it's just a relationship to consistently keep growing.
Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for those nuggets.
Hey.
So I mentioned earlier that you've had some kind of ups and downs with spending time with God and kind of being someone who goes to church, but maybe because of your family. But now that's your own faith and your own relationship.
Yeah.
Could you like describe maybe a turning point or a realization that you had which made you realize that you needed your own faith and relationship with Jesus to experience him to the fullest?
Yeah. So for me, I wouldn't say there's a one specific point in my life when I was very clearly not Christian and then I was a Christian. I think just having grown up in a Christian family, I've always had like an awareness and some sort of belief that God is there. And shout out to my amazing parents for bringing me up in that. I'm very thankful to them. Yes, Angus and Helen, love you. And yeah, but I'd say that there have been some significant times in my life where I've grasped God's character a little bit more, which has changed the way that I see him and know him as an intimate, loving father who I can have relationship with. So one time I was moving away from home when I was 16. I moved to UK after growing up in the Middle East. And that was the first time being away from my parents and was a bit more independent. So it was then my decision, do I want to keep going to church? Is this something that I want, or was it just because of my family? And I decided to go to a church, which was an amazing church, and for the first time had people my age who really loved Jesus. And I was like, whoa, I've not really seen this before. So just seeing that people have that intimacy with God in their personal lives who are my age, I was like, whoa, this is interesting. So I moved away from home at 16. I started becoming more outward about my faith in school, which led to people asking questions in school, and most of which I didn't have answers to because I'd never really asked the big questions for myself. So I think getting asked those questions was quite pivotal because it led me to really think, okay, why do I believe what I'm saying I believe? And that started to make it more my own belief because I was forming my own opinions and everything, which I think happens for a lot of people when they move away from home. They start to question things. Yeah. And another thing that really formed my relationship with God was YWAM. So I did a gap year with YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission, and did a 6-month discipleship training school. And in that time, my understanding of God just really grew. And I learned how to recognize his voice. So what I mean by that is, like, in those times when I would pray or have quiet time, I would be listening to the thoughts that he was planting on my mind, and just recognizing when that was him and when it's my own thoughts. So I started growing in that. And for me, communication with God is so key in knowing him, because it's not a one-way relationship where we just talk at him, but he is speaking to us all the time, and it's just a matter of recognizing his voice, which is different for everyone. For me, it comes in like little thoughts, or I almost see words written in my mind. Matthew 7, well, there is a verse in Matthew 7 which says, like, it's people going to God and saying, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons and do all these things in your name? And then he says to them, I never knew you, depart from me. And that really strikes me. It's like, you can do all these things in God's name, but do we know God? Like, do we actually know him in that intimate thing, regardless of what we're doing? So I think I remember reading that for the first time and being like convicted heavily, being like, whoa, I'm calling myself a Christian and I don't even know who you are, God. So yeah, that just caused me to want to dig deeper into knowing him.
That's amazing. But yeah, I loved how you mentioned that it is really about knowing Jesus and it's not about doing all these things, because outwardly we can do so much to impress people, whether it's other Christians or whether it's just our parents or our friends. But really, God doesn't look at outward appearance, he looks at our hearts. He sees the state of our hearts and still chooses us every time, which is mind-blowing.
I think it's crazy how, like, even though our hearts are so messed up and like we get things wrong all the time, like, he loved us perfectly in that state.
So obviously, for Christians, grace is such an important thing to remember. To have grace for ourselves, that we don't have to make sure that we've done every single thing, maybe ticked off the list, or it really is about spending time with God and wanting to pursue and seek him. And I love the verse in Jeremiah. It just talks about, it says, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. And that is just a promise in the Bible.
Lay everything down to him. And like the Bible says, you have to lose your life to gain it. So it's a matter of giving over your whole heart to him. And then he gives you that new life and he reveals himself to you. So it's like the need to continually lay down our fleshly desires and shed light into every single aspect of our lives and not to hold on to anything, to truly be free and truly be in relationship with God. I mean, we'll have a hard time loving God and treasuring his word if our heart isn't completely his. We'd have to release everything to him for him to become everything to us.
Wow. So that's so good. What are some practical tips that people could take away from what you've learned?
In my perspective, it's not replacing personal time with God with other people's. So what I mean by that is like watching preachers, watching worship sets on YouTube, reading books about God, which are all amazing things. But it's not time with God himself. It can lead us into a time with God, but it's not time himself, with him himself. Something that sort of opened my eyes to the fact that I was maybe doing that was Francis Chan's analogy of the mountain. You might have heard it, but it's if someone climbs up a mountain and sees an incredible view, they can tell you all about how like amazing it is and how wonderful it was. They can show you pictures of it, but nothing compares with the experience of you actually climbing up that mountain and seeing it for yourself. So it's like that thing of experiencing God through other people's experience of him is never the same as us actually experiencing it ourselves and climbing up that mountain into God's presence. So yeah, not letting those things replace our time with God. Even in conversations with friends who are Christians, we can sometimes see that as, oh, I've spent time with God because we spent time in prayer together. But it's kind of feeding off each other's relationship with God. And again, that's a really great thing to do. But it's not healthy if that's all we're doing. Like, we need our own intimate time with God, knowing him in the secret place.
But that's really challenging, actually, because especially now there's so much online, there's so many sermons, there's so many things you could be doing to kind of have that head knowledge about God.
Yeah.
But you know that song Head to Heart?
Yes.
But United Pursuit. Shout out to United Pursuit, yeah.
From the head to the heart.
Beautiful. I'm keeping that.
Yes.
maybe we'll see. Yeah, that's just such a good way of thinking about it, because I think we can have so much head knowledge, but when you actually know personally through experience, you have that heart knowledge, which changes your life, to be honest.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. And if there's any advice you wish you had, which you could pass on to someone else who maybe is struggling with spending time with God or doesn't know God, maybe, any advice about that?
I think if you're struggling with time with God, and like coming into his presence and sitting at his feet, that's totally normal to be struggling with it, because it's a hard thing to grasp, as we can't necessarily see God with our eyes or hear him as an audible voice. But just know that his spirit testifies with our spirit. I think there's like an awareness and a consciousness that he's there in our spirit. It's different for everyone, and everyone is unique, so God interacts with everyone uniquely. There's a consciousness of him within us, and for me it's a feeling of peace, assurance, a joy deep down that I don't really know how to explain. But just know that because you don't experience him in the same way someone else does, doesn't mean that he's not with you, and doesn't mean that you're not in his presence. And in fact, if you are a Christian, he definitely is with you, because he dwells in your heart. As we get to know God's character more and more, that perception of his person will be cultivated, and you will begin to recognize that he's with you and within you and speaking to you more and more. So just keep going to that place. Just keep sitting with him, and yeah, just make a habit of going into his presence, and he is there. He will teach you, and he will reveal his character more and more to you as you get to know him. And just don't compare your journey with someone else's as well, I think is really important, because everyone's journey is unique. And if you're trying to catch up to where someone else is, that's not necessarily where God is working in your life. He's right next to you, holding your hand. Go at his pace, not anyone else's.
That is so good, honestly. I know that's going to help so many people.
Good. I'm glad.
Well, thank you so much, Zara, for being on the podcast.
I've loved it. But yeah, feel free to message me if you have any questions or you want to chat. My account's private, but I'll just try and accept you if you're a stranger.
Nice. Well, if you're following the Hope Cast, that's the dot hopecast on Instagram,
plug
then she'll see that you're a follower of that. Yes. And she'll just accept it straight away, won't you, Zara?
That's good. Yeah, follow Hopecast and then I'll know to accept you.
Amazing.
But you're accepted by Jesus anyway.
Oh, that's so good. Gotta leave it on a holy note.
Oh yes.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the first Hopecast, and I hope that you follow the Instagram to keep that interactive community going. And I hope you all have an amazing week. Thank you so much, Zara, once again.
Thanks for having me. Big love. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, thank you.